Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Elliot Friedman, the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet, will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators matchup tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. They are in Pittsburgh. Puck drop at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll have all of your pregame coverage starting at 5 o'clock with Max Herz on the Predators pregame show. But DMA sent us this article last night, and I woke up to it this morning. And the headline is 5 NFL teams that should consider tanking for the number one pick in 2023. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. And there are a couple teams in there that I do honestly kind of agree with. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Los Angeles Rams. Each of those teams, I believe, have time. Or they've given themselves time to be bad before they get good again. Tampa Bay and the Rams each have Super Bowls to keep them warm at night.
Yes.
So they can afford to be bad for a couple of years. Their quarterback situations, Matthew Stafford, you know, injury problems. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are dealing with Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask as their saviors in the quarterback room. So they can afford to take a couple of steps back before they take leaps and bounds forward. The number one team, this is, again, Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated. The number one team that Connor Orr mentions is the Arizona Cardinals, which I just, like, no. Arizona just signed Kyler Murray to that long-term deal. They owe him $190 million guaranteed. The Arizona Cardinals aren't just 1 year removed going to from that massive contract, going to decide to just, hey, let's throw it all away and let's throw $200 million away on our quarterback to be bad and then go get Caleb Williams in next year's draft. I don't personally agree with that. The second team that Connor Orr writes that should tank for the 2024 draft is the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Lamar's status in question this season, and then who knows what's going to happen with Lamar's future past this season, I don't entirely disagree that Baltimore may need to start looking at options for quarterback beyond 2023. Maybe they need to look at options at quarterback in 2023. Who knows what's going to happen with Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens.
Uh-huh.
But number three, the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, the Titans.
So before we get into the specifics of exactly why Connor Orr writes about the Titans and individual pieces, individual players that there are question marks surrounding, I want to touch on this first because he justifies it by saying it's hard not to wonder about the long-term view of this Tennessee Titans team. And I think we'd all agree with that. that we would all agree with the fact that you're probably going to be too good with Tannehill and Henry and Vrabel to be picking in the top two or to get that top spot in the 2024 draft, where probably Drake May and Caleb Williams are going to go in the 24 draft. It's hard to see where that next path is for your starting quarterback. Past Ryan Tannehill, is Malik Willis going to be your starting quarterback? I lean toward probably not. Mm-hmm. So there is no clear path for the Titans' next quarterback. But I feel like we place so much thought on the future, the long-term future. Who's going to be your quarterback 5 years from now? Like, I even heard Chase and Michelle talking about this either yesterday or a couple days ago. And this is no knock on Chase and Michelle, but they were talking about how the stadium is going to open in 2027. Mm-hmm. And Chase said, well, is Mike Vrabel going to be the coach in 2027? I don't know. So
he hope he does.
He hopes he does, yes. Which is going to be a while. But you never know what's going to happen in 4 years in the NFL. I mean, 4 years ago, did we think that Andrew Luck would retire?
Probably not.
Mm-mm. 4 years ago, did we think that Tom Brady was going to be the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Nah. Probably not. Mm-mm. 4 years ago, did we think that Aaron Rodgers would most likely be the quarterback of the New York Jets?
Nah.
Probably not. Did we think Sean Payton was going to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos?
Along with Russell Wilson being there?
Russell Wilson being their quarterback? No way. And if you did think that, then you should go to Vegas.
Exactly. Because you've got the predicting skills. And I want to go with you.
I'll go with you. Yeah, I'll cash in on it with you.
I'll pay for the trip, matter of fact.
So when we talk about, you know, well, what are the Titans going to do at quarterback in 2024 if Tannehill's going to be the quarterback this year? I don't know. It's hard to project what's going to happen, honestly, in week two of the NFL, even after just week one. It's hard to predict what's going to happen in November, in December, in January, when you're in September of the NFL, much less what's going to happen between now and September 2024. We would all feel a whole lot better if we knew who was going to be quarterbacking the Titans in 2024.
And I think that's why, you know, that's why there's this sort of cloud, over, and it's not necessarily a bad cloud, like ooh doom. No, it's a cloud of we know how this team looks right now, for the most part. Now they're going to add pieces. We know that through the draft and through free agency this year, this offseason. But for the most part, we know how this team looks now. And in knowing that this team, the way it looks now, isn't going to be able to compete at the level that Mike Vrabel is used to competing at with his team. They're just not. They're not capable. Why? Because they're making that transition, and they had to let some guys go, and you know that were, you know, the production wasn't matching the cost, so they had to cut bait. Like, listen, we can't continue to do this. You're not giving us the production that we need based upon your salary. We have to go elsewhere. And going elsewhere, you're getting younger guys that don't have as much experience being a starter, but you project them to be good players. Mm-hmm. Al Shazier and the rest of the guys, they projected to be good players. Rand Carthon even said that. Listen, you know, Arden Key, these guys, they're good players. They just haven't gotten the opportunity to be starters. So they're getting the opportunity to be starters here, and they expect them to play as such and to be very productive in what they're doing here in Nashville. So with that, you look at this ball club and you're trying to project what they will look like, and you're only projecting, and it's only a panic in a sense, because why? Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow,
Josh Allen,
kid in the Chargers. I keep forgetting
Justin
his name.
Herbert.
Justin Herbert.
Probably Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, more than likely. So that's five. And then you have
Lamar.
Trevor Lawrence. Then you have C.J. Stroud. Then you have Bryce Young. So that's eight quarterbacks. And I'm only counting the last two because they're going to be top picks in the NFL. Whether they're going to be 1-2, however you position them, it doesn't matter to me. They're going to be 1-2, which means they're going to have their franchise quarterback. And the franchise quarterback is going to be in your division. the AFC South. So Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and Houston will have their franchise quarterback. You're the only team right now that has your quarterback, but not quarterback for the future. For the near future, but not for the future that's going to open up that stadium. I think that's why, and I pointed toward that myself as well, at 2027, whenever they open this stadium, 2027, 22, I don't know.
Who knows?
But whenever they open that stadium, they got to have their quarterback of the future. They must have that guy. Why? Because everybody else that you're competing with has their guy. Whether it's Patrick Mahomes going on year, what, five? Joe Burrow, well, six, I think. Joe Burrow going on year three. You know, all these quarterbacks that we mentioned, they're young. And the only team that doesn't have it that's been competitive over the last 5 years is the Tennessee Titans. So they must find a way. I don't think the Titans would ever tank. I don't think Amy would even send a message like that to Mike Vrabel, even if she sent it, it'd get rejected before he even got there. But I don't think she ever would. So they're not going to be bad enough on purpose to be able to draft a Drake May or Caleb Williams. That's why I said this year, and I've said this, you know, for the last 3 or 4 months, this year is critical for the Titans in so many different ways. But one is because they just got a new GM, that window that they were operating on under is gone, because a lot of those players are some of those players are gone. A lot of them will eventually be gone after this upcoming season. So you have to be able to find your guy right now with a new GM. You know, your head coach is going to be here. You got some young players that you want to build around. One, Jeffrey Simmons. Treylon Burks is another. Chika Conquo is another. You have three guys that have been productive for you that you want to build around. So we got to now add our quarterback, whether that's this year or next year. I think this year they are as close as they're going to be to a top five pick. Why? Because I don't think they're ever going to be that bad to get a top five pick. So if you can find a way to get your quarterback this year, and I've been saying this for the longest, if you can find a way to get your quarterback this year, get him.
If you love him.
If you love him, get him.
Get him.
Yeah.
And I know that it makes Titans fans feel very uncertain about the future whenever that path to the next quarterback isn't very clear. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm probably in Carolina, they feel fine about finding their next quarterback because it's very obvious. They have the first overall pick. The path is clear. But you never know what's going to happen between now and next year's draft. Every season in the NFL is so important. It is so key. I mean, this time last year, did anyone think that the Eagles were going to be the team that they turned into?
Nah.
No. There's so much time between now and the beginning of the season. There's so much time between now and the beginning of next season that even though the path might not appear very clear right now, you never know what's going to happen. So when every season is so important for individual players, for the evaluation of Rand Carthon, for Mike Vrabel's job, you can't just voluntarily throw one of those seasons away.
Yeah, you can't.
Because
do that.
On March 30th, 2023, the path to your quarterback on September 2024 isn't clear. So I just want to remind everyone that there's time. Don't worry. First time. But Connor Orr also mentioned specific reasons why he thinks the Titans should tank in the 2023 season. And we will get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Of course. I mean, of course we do. And that's where we're in March. We're continuing to build a football team, the best football team we can. And Ryan's healthy. He's getting healthy, I would say, that. Put the work in. It's been good to see him around the building. So, yeah, you know, we always expect that. But to make predictions, I think I've been through this last year. I'm not going to commit to anybody being on roster on September. You know what I mean? I've seen it change too quickly. And, of course, that, you know, we want Ryan as our quarterback. And everybody else that's helped us win, that's what we want.
Is Ryan Tannehill your starter in September? but then we can't commit to anybody, and we're not going to, it's March, it's early.
Listen, he ain't falling for the banana and tailpipe again.
He already did it.
Yeah, he's already done
it. He got burned with it one time. Exactly. He's going to, you know, dot all of his I's and cross all of his T's this time around. That was Mike Vrabel at the NFL owners meetings on Ryan Tannehill's status with the Titans going into 2024. In this article on SI.com, Connor Orr writes, five teams that he thinks should tank for the 2023 season in order to build for the future. The Titans are one of them. And he explains one reason why is because of Ryan Tannehill. It says the Titans' quarterback situation has kept this roster at something of a standstill. While Tannehill is good and still probably a bargain at his current salary of $27 million, if you were the Jets, for example, and the Aaron Rodgers situation took a dramatic turn, he would be by far the best plan B. I would agree with that. He has not proved he can get the Titans over the proverbial hump in the playoffs. Okay, I want to break this down. He mentions the salary. If you look at the Titans, only the Titans and their salary cap situation and their money situation, their contract situation, and yes, Ryan Tannehill takes up the most amount of cap space than any other player on the team. He's the quarterback. I don't think that that's different. I don't think that that's out of the ordinary that your quarterback takes up the most amount of salary cap space. But the amount of money that Ryan Tannehill makes is always brought up whenever justifying moving on from Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill makes a base salary of $27 million. Overall this year, he'll make $36 million. Well, Daniel Jones is making 40-plus. Derek Carr is making 40-plus. The going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL is now $40 to $45 million plus. And Derek Carr, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray even, those aren't quarterbacks that you look at and say, okay, yes, top 10 quarterbacks in the league. Those are the kind of guys that are the difference between your franchise and making a Super Bowl and not. Those are all pretty average quarterbacks in the league. So I don't like it whenever Ryan Tannehill's salary and the amount of money that he makes is used against him. Because look at the rest of the league. What else are you going to get for cheaper?
I mean, that's always going to be first, you know, when we throw out the tank word or the T word.
T word.
Which is like forbidden. You know, in the NFL world, because it's, you know, we heard, you know, allegations that the Miami Dolphins owner wanted to pay their former head coach X amount, you know, to tank in a sense. And what did he say? No, no, he didn't. He's not in the business of doing that. And I don't think any coach, whether you're a head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, I don't care who you are, you're not in the business of going down that road because nothing is guaranteed in a sense of, okay, if I agree to this and everybody knows it, meaning, you know, everybody, me and the owner, we know it, or the GM, we all know it, all three of us, and we tank, does that mean I get to continue to keep my job for the next 2 or 3 years? Because if we tank, we get the guy, and we're still bad, eventually I am going to get fired. Or I might get fired after the tank, you know? So there's nothing guaranteeing me as a head coach, as a competitor, that if I do this, my job is going to be secure. Even though I don't think coaches look at it from the standpoint of security in my job, they just look at it from, in the world of sports where we come from, we don't do, that's not how we operate. We don't operate on losing on purpose. We're trying to win. It's ingrained in our minds. Win, 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 win. Sometimes it's win at all cost. So how then can I take what's been ingrained in my mind and do a backpedal and say tank? I can't prescribe to that as a head coach. I just can't do it. So if you want somebody to do it, you need to come and get somebody else. So I don't think, you know, it's hard to kind of go down that route of tanking. And the Titans, they're in this, they're in this space of, they're good enough not to be too bad, but they're not good enough not to be good enough to win in playoffs and potentially Super Bowl. So they're in that sort of purgatory in a sense. Like, we're here. We're not bad, but we're not good. We're going to win 8 games. Some people got them winning 7 plus. But we're going to win 8 games, at least, with our head coach, you know, that we all love and will run through a wall for. So we're going to at least win 8 games, but that's not going to put us in a sweepstakes for Drake May or Caleb Williams. It's just not going to do it. So what do you do as an organization? That's sort of the dilemma. That's the, you know, when Orr puts out this, you know, teams he believed that should tank for these two quarterbacks, the Tennessee Titans are one of the teams that shouldn't be on this. For one reason, if you didn't have any other reason, one reason and one reason alone, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
He's not going to do it. He's not going to prescribe to something like that. And then the second would be Rand Carthon. He comes from winning organizations. So why would I then my first year tank to get a quarterback that's a really good talent, two of them, but I'm not going to tank on purpose to get those two. I'm going to try to do what I need to do this year. If I can move up to get the guy that I love, if I love him that much, then I'm going to do what I need to do to get in a space where I can draft one of these four quarterbacks. They're not going to be able to get to one or two. It's going to cost them too much. But possibly they can get in the position to draft Richardson or Levis. If they're talking about that, then okay. But if you're talking about tanking for next season, it's not going to happen.
And if you are wired that way, to where you can be a coach or a player at this level, you're just wired different. You are just
yeah. If you're wired different. Talking about tanking, I don't want you on my team.
You don't have a place in the National Football League.
No,
you don't have a place there. And Mike Vrabel is not that kind of coach or player or competitor. And I understand if you're on the outside looking in. If you are someone who covers all 32 teams in the league, then you would look at the Titans from an outsider perspective and say, "Oh yeah, you know they don't have their quarterback of the future. Derrick Henry's old. Sure, yeah, tank." But when you know Mike Vrabel, you know that he would never do something like this. Mm-hmm. And Connor Orr even writes in this piece, and I don't mean to pick on Connor Orr. I don't know Connor Orr. But he says, you know, the Titans have a GM at the beginning of a brand new contract who can afford a strategic gap year. I'm sorry. Have you ever been hired into a new job and you said, well, I just got hired, so I can afford to be pretty bad at my job for the first few months?
On purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Well, who thinks that way? Mm-hmm. Rand Carthon, in his opening press conference, said, I am here to be competitive. I am here to win a Super Bowl. Rand Carthon nor Mike Vrabel have any interest in being bad this season. Mm-hmm. I'll go back to the fact that every single season in the NFL matters. This time last year, how much has changed since then? Mm-hmm. So much has changed. Coaches have changed. Quarterbacks and their job securities have changed. GMs have changed. So many things can change in the span of a year. That's how important a single season is in any sport, but especially in the NFL. And I don't think that anyone within that organization has any interest in wasting one of these opportunities. But Connor Orr gets into something else about Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a pretty popular thought or opinion of Tannehill across the league, and I want to break it down coming up next. And of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
You play running back. Your dad is one of the best running back coaches and offensive coordinator. Do you think a team can win a Super Bowl in today's NFL built around a running back?
Yeah. I mean, I joke and I say, you know, it's cute to play, you know, Golden State Warriors football on, you know, October, September. But when those conditions change and you can't throw the ball up and down the yard, you better be able to run it and you better be able to defend it. And I think if you look at the teams that are in the playoffs that are still playing at this stage, everybody's able to run the ball. So I think, you know, that you can win championships that way.
Caroline, Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game at Nashville app. Willie Donick joins the party now live from Pittsburgh. Willie D, how we doing?
Doing well, guys. Happy opening day. I got a little baseball on the background here. And by the way, Aaron Judge already has a homer. His first swing of the season.
Not wasting any time, is
center. Home run, yep. So he's picked up where he's left off. So great weather at Yankee Stadium. We've got that one on in the background. And here in Pittsburgh. The Pirates are opening up today, but not here, unfortunately. Otherwise, I might be playing hooky from you guys and walking across the bridge to PNC Park, which is a tremendous ballpark, one of the best scenic views, a beautiful ballpark, very, very close to where we're staying here in Pittsburgh. But they're in Cincinnati today, so you guys are off the hook.
Bummer. I wouldn't have blamed you, Willie.
Yeah, we wouldn't have minded
that
at all.
Guys, I'm feeling a little tired. You know, it's a big game tonight. I just won't be able to make it back for the show.
Guys,
if you'd have watched the Pirates game, you might have seen me in the stands like Ferris Bueller.
All of a sudden, catching a fever. I want to get into all the baseball thoughts because I know we all three of us have a ton. But we're right now, Willie, breaking down an article put out on SI.com, put out by Connor Orr, listed five teams that he thinks should tank for the 2023 season in order to give them the best odds at landing Caleb Williams in the 2024 draft. Mm-hmm. The Tennessee Titans are one of them. And Connor Orr mentions the amount of money that the Titans are on the hook for with Ryan Tannehill, which I said always kind of rubs me the wrong way whenever Ryan Tannehill is put into the same context of too expensive, when Daniel Jones and Derek Carr have the price tags that they have significantly more than Ryan Tannehill is making. But there's another point that Connor Orr makes, and he says that Ryan Tannehill has not proved he can get the Titans over the proverbial hump in the playoffs. So my question to that is, who can? There have only been two quarterbacks in the AFC that I think have proven that they can get their teams past this quote-unquote proverbial hump, mm-hmm. and that's Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. Ryan Tannehill has gotten the Titans to an AFC championship. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill has gotten the Titans to the playoffs in 3 years. It was an early exit in the divisional round, and that is very well documented how poorly Ryan Tannehill played in that game, how Ryan Tannehill basically just kissed that season away. But Ryan Tannehill's gotten his team to the wild card round, the divisional round, and the AFC championship. He's 2-3 in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, who I think we would all agree is a top 10 quarterback in the league, mm-hmm. who wants a fully guaranteed contract, is 1-3 in the playoffs. He's never made it out of the divisional round of the playoffs. He's never done what Ryan Tannehill has done getting to the AFC championship. Josh Allen has made it as far as Ryan Tannehill has in the playoffs. Josh Allen's gotten the Bills to the AFC championship one time, and they haven't been back since then. Derek Carr is 0-1 in the playoffs. Limited to the playoffs one time, and he makes significantly more money than Ryan Tannehill has. So when we talk about Ryan Tannehill and this proverbial hump of getting over in the playoffs, which I'm guessing is getting their team to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. there's only two current quarterbacks in the AFC that have done that, and it's Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. So I don't if we're going to get that same critique to Ryan Tannehill, then let's keep up the same energy with the other quarterbacks in the AFC that are viewed as much better quarterbacks, rightfully so, mm-hmm. than Ryan Tannehill is in the AFC.
Well, first of all, I would say that Connor Orr is an excellent writer. He's been on our show before. He was actually at covering for Sports Illustrated the fateful day when the Bengals stole the game from the Titans with that performance by Ryan Tannehill. That
maybe that's why he feels this way about
it. I know he's would like to forget. Yeah, that might have influenced, but he really does his homework. I think he's an excellent writer. He's a guy, you might remember, Derek did some deep diving on Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. and his training, some of the extra training, the amazing workouts that he does to try to stay at the top of his game. So I think he's a very good reporter. To me, it's much more about the team, where they are with the roster, than it is specifically Ryan Tannehill. So, you know, it's an interesting angle. I don't think they're going to go with the full tank, the rebuild. We know tanking is very risky in general. But I think he's looking at a roster, too, that's full of question marks and looking at the entire AFC. And I don't think it's a bad take, but I just wouldn't make it much. I wouldn't make it too much about Tannehill if I were him, because I think we've all seen, too. I mean, look at Peyton Manning, John Elway. There's plenty of quarterbacks that had early struggles with playoff games, and then they had eventually great postseasons. The further along, the more they got there, eventually they broke through.
Yeah, they did. And listen, we're not putting Ryan Tannehill in a boat with the guys use his name, John Elway, Peyton Manning. We're not doing that. But he has been, if we're looking at the elder statesmen in the AFC minus Aaron Rodgers. Eventually he will be in AFC, but right now it's on hold. But minus him, you're talking about the elder statesmen, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to throw Joe Burrow in there because he's a young quarterback. Even Lamar is young. So, but if you're talking about these elder statesmen, Ryan Tannehill has done as far as getting their team. He's done as much as all of them except Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. The numbers don't lie. What the record doesn't lie. I'm not saying that he's better than Lamar, Derek, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen. I'm not saying he's better than those guys. But when you say, well, he can't do it or he hasn't been able to do it, you're right. He hasn't been. But he hasn't done anything that these other quarterbacks, minus those two that we said, has done. Actually, he's done more than a lot of them, with the exception of Josh Allen. He and Josh Allen are probably, they've done just about the same amount. But we look at Josh Allen, maybe because he's younger and maybe because he's only been on one team. But we look at Josh Allen as if he's the second coming of Jim Kelly, when in actuality, he hadn't done a damn thing, no more than what Ryan Tannehill has done. Has he been on good teams? Yeah. I don't even think he has. Ryan Tannehill has done something that he hasn't been able to do, a number one seed in AFC. Josh Allen hadn't been able to do that. And Josh Allen has had the offense, you know, the receivers that the Titans haven't had consistently. They've had that production. They've had the defense. They've had everything they needed to have around Josh Allen, but he hasn't been able to do the things that Ryan Tannehill has done from a team aspect. Have a number one seed. Josh Allen got his team to an AFC championship, but so did Ryan Tannehill. So when you say that Ryan Tannehill can't do it, or he hasn't been able to get up over that hump, well, you need to say that about a lot of quarterbacks in the AFC that hasn't done that as well. And I understand why they haven't said it about those guys, because they're much younger.
Yeah, like I would take Josh Allen exactly. over but Ryan Tannehill any day.
But. Right, but really, here's the point that Orr is making. What he's basically saying is, if you keep the current roster, if you keep Tannehill and you keep Derrick Henry, they're going to be competitive, right? Or at least more competitive. They're not going to be tanking if they keep those teams. And therefore, they will have no chance at Caleb Williams.
He's right about that.
And that's really what the article is about, is, you know, who might be wise to position themselves to make a run at Caleb Williams. And it's an interesting question, because we've said it from the start, is what does Rand Carthon, as he comes in, what does he think of this roster? Mm-hmm. And knowing that Mike Vrabel has a lot of say, right? It's a collaboration. He's not the GM, but he's got a lot of clout as a head coach, and he's not a guy that's going to just raise his hand and volunteer for a full tank rebuild. But the points that Connor Orr is making, you know, here are the points: Tannehill and Derrick Henry. With those two, the Titans are almost guaranteeing they're going to win enough games for this not to be in the conversation. Caleb Williams, right? You're going to have those guys. You're going to win some games. You may not win the division. You may not make the playoffs, but you're going to win more than three or four games, and you're going to be out of the mix for the number one pick. And then he also says, hey, take a look at the roster. 23 of the current players on the Titans roster are 28 or older. That includes Tannehill. That includes Morgan Cox, the long snapper. Mm-hmm. But the point is, this is a little bit of an older roster. Not, you know, win three or four games, the way it's constructed. So he says, if you're the Titans, can you honestly look at the roster presently constructed and think that a Super Bowl is in the cards? Or would you rather reload now before the Jaguars pull away and the Texans start properly using all the capital that they received for Deshaun Watson? He also says, you know, Vrabel is in a position where maybe he could shoulder a couple of bad years with the credibility that he has and not get fired in the process.
But if I'm Mike Vrabel, is that something that I want to sign up for? And I totally hear you. And it's kind of a difficult conundrum. Well,
what's the alternative?
Of the
That's
Titans
the question.
Being in the murky middle of you're going to be too good with Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry to get that number one overall pick, but you're not going to be so bad that you get the number one overall pick. It's a tough position to be in the murky middle. But this is kind of the point that I was making earlier, Willie, is you don't need to tank for that to be your only option or opportunity to find your quarterback of the future. What if Carolina is absolutely horrendous this year and they have the first overall pick next year? Well, Carolina will have their quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. Carolina would probably be willing to deal that first overall pick. What if the Titans decide to trade out of the 11th overall pick and they pick up a first in next year's draft and they can leverage their first in next year's draft combined with that first that they'll pick up this past year by moving down? Now they have two first-round picks that they can package together to get to that number one pick. Then they could get to number one without having to tank. What if there's a veteran, really solid quarterback in the league this year that the Titans love that is unhappy in their current situation and they want to be traded? The Titans could find their quarterback of the future that way. I'm just saying the Titans don't need to tank in order to find their quarterback of the future. But right now, the path to their quarterback of the future isn't very clear. And I understand the uneasiness that people feel by being in that kind of uncomfortable position. But let's get back into it coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your phones as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
As you peruse this roster and you see kind of where things stand right now, do you feel like this team is maybe just a few fixes away from being a contender again, or do you feel like that there's major changes that...
No, this is a competitive team. This is a competitive team, and we can win football games. But at the end of the year, you evaluate your roster every year, and you're always looking for ways to improve that. And so that's what we're going to do here. Although I feel the team is competitive and we're good, the objective is not be good. The objective is to be great. And so we're going to continue to work to build a great roster. And that's going to be every year, you know. So you can always take it to a new height. So that's going to be our approach.
That was Rand Carthon at his introductory press conference. He said he wants to be competitive. He views the roster as competitive and wants to be competitive every year. And Willie, before the break, you made a fair point. And it's a point that I think a lot of people are using of if the Titans do decide to take a step back this year, that Mike Vrabel has enough skins on the wall to absorb a bad year and move forward. And he's afforded the time to be able to rebuild the team. What D-Mays and I were kind of kicking around at the break is, has he? Has he really? Because Mike Vrabel hasn't won a Super Bowl with the Titans. I think Tampa Bay and Los Angeles, like Sean McVay has done enough in his tenure in Los Angeles that they can afford to have a down year or two. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been to two Super Bowls. They've won one. Rams fans are going to be okay with a year that the Rams go 2-15 and are absolutely awful because they've got a Super Bowl. And that Sean McVay has enough skins on the wall. He's been to the Super Bowl twice, 1-1. He's got enough skins on the wall within that organization in order to be bad for a year. Mm-hmm. Whatever is the right grammatical way to say that, does Mike Vrabel really have in order to have a bad season, a down season?
Or two, or three.
There's no guarantee that it's just going to be one season.
Well, this is Connor Orr's theory, right? That I'm kind of flowing with based on what he wrote. Because I do think it's a viable thing that should be discussed. If you're trying to say, how do we build a great team? You just heard Rand Carthon. You're looking to improve all the time, but you're trying to not just be a good team. You're trying to be a great team. And remember, what was the mantra for Mike Vrabel when he took over? He wanted to take the roster from good to great. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they've ever had a great roster. They've had a very good roster, right? When they had all their things aligned, they were a number one seed. And they had home field advantage in the playoffs. They were close, but I don't know that they were ever, even though they were the one seed, really the best, most powerful roster. Kind of like, Derek, when you guys had your run for 5 years, I thought you guys were among the best rosters in the league. You guys got to that. You had a championship-level defense. You had an emerging franchise quarterback in Steve McNair. You had a franchise running back. And you had a great offensive line. You know, you had the pieces. Mm-hmm. There. I don't know if I would say this Titans era that we just have gone through the last 4 or 5 years has ever gotten to that point. And I think Mike Vrabel is wary of that. Now, does he have, you know, does he have that muscle to be able to get through what Connor Orr calls a gap year? His theory is if you took a gap year this year and tanked, basically, and then you could be in the position to try to go get a Caleb Williams, could Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel see it through to the other side? Remember, you got the new stadium. That's the other thing you can sell to ownership. Hey, we're going to have a new stadium in 2026. What kind of team could we build if we have our eye on that year as much as anything else? So I do think with the decision-making power that he has, I think they could go that route if they wanted to. Now, I'm not saying they're going to or they should necessarily, but I think it's something to discuss.
You mean going the route of deliberately setting up your roster to lose in order to get the quarterback, in order to put yourself in a position to possibly get the quarterback that you want?
It's a hard decision to do. It's very, very hard. And I'm not a big fan of it. And there's different levels of it. But I just don't think it's an insane thing, right, when we know how hard it is to get the quarterback. The other thing is, what do your scouts know about Caleb Williams? I mean, is he the end-all, be-all? Who else is in the mix? Who are the other guys? You can't put all your eggs in one basket and say, we're going to go get Caleb Williams. It's got to be
– or Drake May.
Who are the quarterbacks next year? So Drake May would be another guy to throw in there. But are there three or four next year? You know, that if there are, then it's kind of like, okay, we got to make note of that.
I think there are always, more than likely, when we start projecting, you know, future drafts and we zero in on one or two players at one particular position, there's always that third or fourth guy that comes out of the woodworks and ends up, you know, really maturing and taking that next step and really showing everybody that, hey, I can be a quarterback, a highly capable, efficient, great leader, everything at the next level, because I've come into my own now. So there's going to be, I believe, other quarterbacks that will sort of emerge as we start to filter through the college season and into the draft of next year, 2024. But it's just for me, Willie, and I understand where Orr is coming from, considering where this roster is, where it has been, where they potentially project it to be. I understand that this roster at this particular moment isn't the roster that is capable of winning you a Super Bowl. I think sometimes when we hear the word competitive, we think of it as a good thing. But in pro sport, majority of the time, unless there's a deliberate tank involved, every week is going to be competitive. It is. It's just a hard sport. Football is a hard sport to play. And we've seen it week in and week out where a team come in and we think they're not good and they end up having a game and they end up either winning or making a game much closer than what it should be and then go the next week and get blown out by somebody. This game is week by week. So when you use the word competitive, it's not always a good thing. You know, to me, you want to be more than competitive. You want to be capable. You want to have a team that you know can win ball games, not be competitive. Because
right,
I think every team can be competitive
case?
In the NFL.
What's best case this year? What's best case this year?
I think is it fair to say that on March 30th?
Yeah, it's hard to say where they can be. From where they're at now, because this roster is not filled. This is an incomplete roster. It's not filled out yet. Where they are at now, this team would be the second best team in the AFC South as they currently sit right now. I don't know in August, so it's September when the season starts, you know, this team will look different. So will the Jacksonville Jaguars. So will the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. I think that's when we then can determine whether this team, once the rosters are set, whether this team is able to play at a level that's going to get them into the playoffs. And then ultimately, once you're in a playoff, you know, you get the ball to bounce your way a few times, you can find yourself, you know, moving through the playoffs and ends up in the AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game, whatever that may be. But Carolyn was right. We don't know exactly the team they have now. We know who they are in a sense, but it's going to change. It will change. This will be a different team come June, July, and August.
But we know the players that they have.
Uh-huh.
We know the age of the players they have.
Older players.
We know how much money they have to spend, and we know who's out there. So we know some. We don't know who they're going to draft, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I agree, they can get better. But I guess I'm weighing, and I'm not saying that I'm coming down either on either side of this, but I guess what the Predators have done have opened my eyes a little bit here. Sometimes it's better to make the moves before you crash and burn. I think that's what the Predators were afraid was going to happen. If they stood pat with what they had, that they could crash and burn and not do anything to help themselves down the road. And what they've done is they've helped themselves set up assets down the road, cleared cap space, and they have remained, at least for this time, pretty competitive, right? So you could live with the results. So are the Titans better off doing that or diving in, trying to build the best possible roster you could build for 2023 and maybe best case, eke out a division title, you win 10 games, you win a playoff game? That would be pretty cool, right? But then the next year you're even older. You've got a remaining salary cap issue, I'm sure. You have no chance of finding your next quarterback through the draft, probably, without doing some serious gymnastics. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, these are all things you've got to weigh, and these are not easy decisions at all, because you could sit there and go, okay, we got to the playoffs again. That's a good thing. You might win another division title. You might have some great memories, some great exciting games that we can all lean on. So these are all positive things. But you could also crash and burn with an older roster, and that's the worst-case scenario, right? They crashed and burned last year.
And that's what you want to avoid, is hurting your team for the future. But a whole lot can change. Let's get to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Sportsnet. He will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 at the game.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.